It's time now to have a look at some bizarre news stories from around the world. And our jovial bringer of bizarre news is blind journalist Paul Rise. Hello.
Not just any old bringer, a jovial bringer.
You're quite jovial.
Yes. I'll take it all together.
In bits, not so much. Oh dear, let's not go down this line.
No.
Let's stick
to why the script.
Indeed. And bizarre news.
Yes, and this week another new place, because I don't think we've done one from here before. Vanuatu.
Yes, we have.
Have we done stories from Vanuatu before?
Yeah, because I thought that was a name for the devil. And you said, not as far as I'm aware.
Oh, well, there you go.
So, I won't say that again.
No. It would appear that there's a website being introduced, being developed by some Australian scientists that can map flood risks. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that Pacific area is prone to flood risk.
Specific or Pacific?
Pacific.
Or specifically?
Yes, specifically the Pacific is prone to flood risk. And
well, it is an ocean.
It is. It absolutely is. So what is happening now is that you've got sort of tribal chiefs who are saying we can move the village further up the hill because this is when the sea level is going to rise. And they reckon by the year 2100...
They'll all be on top of the hill?
Just about, yes, because they reckon the sea level is going to rise by 29 inches.
By when?
2100.
Well...
I don't know if we'll be here for that. What do you reckon?
2100? Well... You've got more chance than I have, I think.
You never know. So it's like I say, it's been developed by some Australian scientists, and you can track where you are in relation to the risk of, you know.
So can you do this all around the world then?
I don't know about all around the world, but certainly they're aiming it at Vanuatu at the moment. I imagine you will be able to eventually.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on the 11th floor, so...
You're all right.
I'm not too bad.
I'm in trouble. I'm on the ground floor, so...
But it is a worry, isn't it? And yet people still keep building down by the rivers. And you wonder if people actually take it seriously, because this is a big issue in London as well, isn't it?
It is. It is. They're all going to move to Birmingham.
Yeah. and then higher up and higher up until...
And higher and higher and higher.
Goodness.
You'll have people living on Ben Nevis before long.
The highest mountain in the UK. And we should say other mountains are available.
Yes, climb them at your leisure. Now, here's an interesting one.
Well, I hope so.
Well, it is. I hesitate because it's quite difficult to get my head around this. This concerns the unofficial republic, People's Republic of Luhansk, which is pro-Moscow. It's in the Ukraine, but it's pro-Moscow. And
that's awkward.
Isn't officially recognised by just about everybody except themselves. And they've just crowned their most patriotic cat.
What, do they have degrees of...
patriotism.
Yes, that's
what. Yeah, well, what they decided to do is people could enter their cats if they were sporting sort of patriotic...
I beg your pardon?
..things. So, you know, there was a cat sporting military fatigues in the flag of Luhansk.
Oh, so it wasn't a real cat?
Yeah, it was a real cat.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Yeah, the one who won it, a cat called Tima, was the cat in the hat and the tie, and he was lying on the patriotic flag.
Oh. And why a cat, though?
I had no idea. No idea. And for all their efforts, his owner got the equivalent of £65.
Well.
Which is about 500 rubles.
And did he share it with his cat?
Very might have fed him. I don't know. I buy lots of cat food for that price.
Because we had a story about a cat in Russia. Remember that one that used to dance to the national anthem? Used to stand up.
Yes.
Well, I wonder what's going on with cats in Russia and Ukraine and
all that sort of area. Yeah. So there he is, £65 richer. Now we broach a subject that I know nothing about.
Well, come on, like, narrow it down a bit.
Well, we're looking at it. Yeah. Here we go. Technology.
Oh well.
Right. Now, apparently in China, there's a lot of scorn going about over a gaudy-looking smartphone which has been developed in conjunction with the Museum of the Forbidden City.
All right.
Which is China's most popular tourist attraction. Really? They get 14 million visitors a year.
Never heard of it?
No, well, that's because it's forbidden. And it's supposedly made out of titanium and all sorts of gems and jewels and things. mm-hmm. and it'll cost you £2,326 if you have it.
Oh, I see.
And it hasn't gone down well.
Why?
People have just sort of said, oh, yes, I always imagined the people in the Forbidden City walking around holding a smartphone. And the museum themselves came back with a rather terse statement saying, we don't sell mobile phones.
So where are they coming from then?
Well, they've been made, there are 999 of them made with Samsung and this in conjunction with, so it's...
all. Well, I mean, they might catch fire.
They might catch fire. It doesn't look like they're going to catch on. So.
No, but I bet you become collectors at some point.
Well...
Michael Palin will be collecting one on his next trip.
Trip round the world, yes. Yeah. Oh, you never know.
You don't know.
Oh, yeah. And just to round off things, and it might give listeners an insight into the sort of things that we do in our job, a Kazakh newsreader in Kazakhstan, he's resigned. He's very indignant.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because they mocked up one of his colleagues and did a fake interview using clips and footage. It was supposed to be a bit of a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And it hasn't gone down well.
Oh, dear.
Which is,
so who's resigned then?
The chief newsreader at Channel One Eurasia.
Now, was he the one that was behind the hoax then?
No, he was the one that... He took offence to this because he thought his colleague was being interviewed by a man called Vladimir Pozhna, who is...
A violinist?
Not quite. No, he's one of the area's top journalists.
All right.
And he does a sort of... a bit like Andrew Marr on, you know, other programmes.
Does everything.
That sort of thing. But like top newsmakers and all that go on there. And... this didn't happen. For example, the leading question is what are you most proud of, you know, to this lady who's the colleague of our friend who resigned? And the response came back, cowardice.
Oh.
So they've been playing around with clips and editing and all that sort of thing.
Howard Stern, you know, the famous American chat show DJ host... and quite outrageous. And
yes, very outrageous.
He has done this with a lot of his guests, where he gets interviews and audiobooks that they've been involved with, and then they very badly use the words. It sounds like a railway train station announcement, the way the intonation, you know. You're now approaching Basingstoke Station. You know, that kind of thing. But it's got... it can say... I remember one with Dolly Parton. She actually sued them, I think, in the end, quite rightly so. It was really quite offensive.
Yes, you have to be careful.
Yeah, and you wonder, where did they get all this from? But it was just things taken out of context and put together.
It is. And
answered questions that weren't asked.
That's right. And it just shows you, A, what is possible, and B, the amount of time it must take to put all this stuff together, because it's easier in radio than it is in television, because obviously television, you've got headshots and all this camera angles and things to line up so it looks right.
And the thing now is, I think there's a program that's come out recently that once you feed some words in or sample some words from somebody in, you can get that person's voice to say anything.
That's a real worry, isn't it?
It is a worry, yeah. Is this you?
Yes, it really is me.
Really?
Yes.
See, it just creates doubt.
Yes, now, I promise you.
If you think Paul's an imposter, I'd like to hear from you.
So would I.
So would those two.
Yes, you can search for us online, RNIB, Connect Radio. We really are there.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.